Today marks the end of the third and final bailout for Greece. The Greek economy is growing today, but 8 years of financial crisis and austerity have left the nation in a very difficult place. Liz Alderman is the chief European business correspondent for the New York Times, and she's currently in Greece covering the story. Liz, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So remind us, why did Greece need these bailouts in the first place, and what did they end up meaning for the country?
Well, Greece, as y'all may recall, kind of became the epicenter of Europe's debt crisis back in 2010. That was shortly after Wall Street blew up and Lehman Brothers fell. The global financial markets were still reeling at that time, and Greece decided to come out and announce that it had actually been significantly understating its deficit figures for years. That raised a lot of alarm bells about the soundness of Greek finances. And while Greece is a very small country, at that time, there were a number of other countries within the Euro currency union that had also started to become very shaky, including Ireland and Portugal. Greece wound up having sort of an outsized impact because it had a very large debt to begin with, and basically creditors, which included the International Monetary Fund, the European Commission, and the European Central Bank, swooped in with a kind of a massive rescue package to stabilize Greece along with the other countries in a bid to keep the Euro Union from breaking up, which it looked like might possibly happen. And things actually just got worse from there, because the austerity that was imposed as conditions for receiving that money wound up making the economic conditions in Greece and those other countries worse, not better.
Is this the end of austerity measures in Greece? Is this what this means today?
It actually does not mean the end of austerity measures. Greece wound up being on these so-called bailouts much longer than any of the other countries because its finances were much worse off. It had really mismanaged its finances. And in addition, just like with the other countries, you had a large number of European banks, specifically German and French, Italian banks, who had bought up a lot of Greek debt, to which pretty much most of this bailout money has gone to try and keep those banks from going under, as well as going back to the creditors. But even though Greece is getting off of that today, the austerity conditions will remain. In fact, Greece is going to remain under so-called surveillance from its creditors for at least the next 4 years. They're going to be watching to make sure that Greece continues to keep that belt tightened so that it can look better in the eyes of international financial markets and hopefully lure more banks and more investors to come back to the country at some point and start buying up Greek debt again.
Now, the good news is that the economy in Greece has actually grown for the last 5 quarters and unemployment is on the decline. How does that fit into the larger picture here?
Well, the economy started to stabilize recently, really in the middle of last year, after this very chaotic episode, really just 3 years ago, in which Greece nearly came spinning out of the Euro currency union. That was shortly after the current Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras was elected. He promised the Greeks that he would reverse the austerity conditions under the bailout. He turned around and did the exact opposite. He accepted another bailout as well as harsh austerity conditions. And so that caused the economy to sort of relapse quite badly for a while. But since the last year and a half or so, things have sort of stabilized. And that has actually kind of helped a mild recovery take hold. The mild recovery, we've seen a lot of tourism, for example, coming to Greece. Some investors starting to take a look at whether it makes sense to invest here again. And also Greek businesses, which have actually increased a lot of their exports because the Greek domestic market isn't really doing so well still. So with that stability, you know, they're hoping that there will be kind of a positive upward effect taking hold. That being said, there are still plenty of challenges because the quality of the recovery is extremely uneven, as are the type of jobs that are being created along with this recovery.
You're in Greece and you've been talking to Greeks about the end of these bailouts. What have they been telling you? Do they see this as a big moment for the country?
Really, actually, most Greeks that I talk to are sort of very resigned about the situation. Many Greeks basically say that although it's supposed to be kind of a significant day symbolically, the end of the bailouts don't really mean anything to them because their lives have been impacted very severely. In a story that I had in the New York Times today, where I spoke with a number of Greek people for a reportage on basically the fact that, you know, poverty has increased quite significantly during the last 8 years. Around 30% of the population is considered to be at or around the poverty line. A number of Greeks have difficulty making ends meet. A lot of the jobs, as I mentioned, that are being created are actually quite precarious in nature. short-term or temporary jobs, minimum wage, which was cut significantly, or many people working really not with contracts at all. So for people who have been kind of, you know, hammered by very deep, you know, austerity and economic contraction, what those people say is they, for them, they still don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. On the other hand, you do have a number of businesses that, because the situation is stabilizing, they are starting to see, for example, an increase in orders. A number of businesses that I talked to have actually started hiring again. And we're also seeing an interesting amount of startup activity happening here. The question is, you know, how sustainable is that recovery going to be going forward?
Liz, can we zoom out for a moment and talk about the continent as a whole? Where does this leave the overall health of the Eurozone? And also, what are the larger political implications throughout Europe in the wake of all of these bailouts?
Well, the Eurozone itself has actually been recovering pretty significantly within the last couple of years from, you know, the debt crisis that affected, you know, Greece and really all of the other countries. Greece is really one of the laggards in terms of recovery, although that recovery started mild, you know, in a very mild way last summer. It's still quite far behind most of the other Eurozone countries. But as a whole, the Eurozone is doing better. You know, also, the fact of the matter is everybody's talking about Brexit, right, which is a far bigger menace to the European Union. That being said, you know, there are still kind of a lot of, you know, shadows in the background that could come back onto the scene and disturb things. That being, for example, the recent elections in Italy and some of the nervousness in financial markets about that, as well as what we're seeing happening in Turkey. So, you know, things are kind of seem to be stabilizing for the moment. But, you know, we need to see what the future holds.
Sure. Liz Alderman is the chief European business correspondent for The New York Times. Liz, thank you so much for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
You come to The New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.